This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It is hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. You can hear right there, Chris Arnold is riding shotgun and planting the flag for us.
Got you down.
Yes, he's in, and he'll be here for the next couple of days as Mikey B is on vacation. He went to New Orleans. Jeff Cavanaugh, Lucius Alexander, myself, Gavin Dawson, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Yeah, this is a Bill Barnwell special right here, the NFL writer on ESPN.com. He's really good at his job, isn't he?
Yes, Barnwell's very good, very good.
He comes up with really good topics, but then he hits that topic with science and good analysis and research. So what he did is the top quarterbacks to never win a Super Bowl ranked. I'm going to get that here for you, maybe coming up in 5-6 minutes.
I believe he did the greatest quarterback to never play in a Super Bowl, didn't he?
Because
Marino's not on the list.
He was on the rookie.
He played in a Super Bowl. I believe it's the greatest quarterback to never play in a Super Bowl.
To never play in a Super Bowl.
Because Jim Kelly's been to four of them.
Good clarification. Yes, and Jim Kelly's not on this list, and he would clearly be better than, I believe, all of the quarterbacks on said list.
Okay, still a good list. There.
Still good list.
Barnwell says to create the list of the 10 best QBs to never make it to the Super Bowl. Good catch, Jeff. Using a skill as a measure isn't enough. Time matters. A QB who's above average for 10 years probably has a better shot of making it to a Super Bowl than a signal caller who is even better but lasted only 5 seasons.
Better.
My determining factor was for candidates was to find the passers who had played well enough over the largest number of seasons to push their teams into the Super Bowl. To be more specific, I looked at QBs who've arrived after the merger and the seasons where they were the primary starter for their respective teams. So, bam, we go off of Pro Football Reference's adjusted yards per attempt. Jeff, is that a pretty good catch-all for QBs?
Adjusted yards per attempt is pretty good. It's a pretty good one, yes.
All right, all right. Number 10 on the list. This was it gets better in a hurry. But number 10 on the list was a surprise to me. From the Cincinnati Bengals.
Andy Dalton.
He played in the 90s and probably early 2000s.
Now, Boomer, what's your Super Bowl?
He got it, Jeff Blake.
Wow.
Number 10 on the list, best quarterbacks to
have. Okay.
Wow. How'd you pull that
up? Did he have
up?
A good run? Well, he was 90s Bengals quarterback. Did he?
To me, okay. He's no different than Andy Dalton.
He had 7 really good years. His defenses were always garbage. I don't think his defenses were ever better than 24th in the NFL. He played 1 year for Baltimore, actually, and he played pretty dang good. Ray Lewis was out hurt all season long. But, yes, I do believe Jeff Blake managed to compile better stats.
Okay, we're going to need this list to get better, Gavin.
It does. I
got
promise.
Jeff Blake at a 78 QB rating for his career. Now, it was a different era-ish.
Yes, and maybe this should have been the best 9 quarterbacks to never play in a Super Bowl. But, 10 sounded better.
So you mentioned those 10. I'm just going to throw out a name. I'm just wondering if this guy's in the top 9 because Cowboy fans.
Okay, well, let me
I'll pause.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If Jeff Blake's on this list, Tony Romo's on this
list.
That's what I was about. Yes. He'll be on this list, and he should be towards the top.
Yeah. We're going to go quarterback by quarterback. I'm going to give you guys some hints. We'll play a little game here.
That'll
and
work.
Right now, Jeff is up 1-0. Okay.
Home. I'm locked in.
Number 9 on the list. He also did not have a lot of help. He had a sack rate 1 year of 25.8 while quarterbacking the Philadelphia Eagles in the 80s and 90s.
80s and 90s.
Got you down?
Eagles.
No.
He was...
Cunningham.
Yes.
Randall Cunningham.
Okay.
Oh, he's awesome.
Randall Cunningham, to be more specific. He started 12 or more games just 7 times in his 16 pro seasons, but those teams went a combined 68-35.
Wow.
During his prime, he was winning 2 for every loss.
Did they go straight from... No, I guess McNabb came later, right?
Early 2000s. But you know what? Randall Cunningham's best year was when he was with Randy Moss in Minnesota.
Yes.
I thought they were going to the Super Bowl until the Atlanta Falcons, the Dirty Birds, knocked him out.
If you're not talking about your own team, for my money, the most fun watching football has ever been was Cunningham and Culpepper and George's runs with Randy Moss.
Yeah, it was good
you
stuff.
You turned into a Vikings game, and they did the PTB3. You pack the ball 3 times and throw it as far as you can. It was so much
high
fun.
High scoring, too.
Culpepper doing that roll celebration.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was fun. In 98, he was 13-1 with those Vikings.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I forget who he came in for, but he was awesome. Number 8 on the list is a quarterback who was highly critiqued later on in his career because in his last playoff game, he was like, man, I sprained my knee really bad. I can't go back in, guys.
Cutler.
Yes, you got it. I was going to say he dated
How is Cutler on the list? Okay, so this is a top seven list.
He delivered six above average seasons as a starter. He had a 5,000-yard season in Denver.
Okay.
He had some pretty big years before he totally gave up.
He's got the perfect arm, but he doesn't lead anything.
So does his body language that just makes us really devalue what he did?
It was horrible at the end. But there for a while when he was emerging, it was like, who's the better young quarterback? Is it Jay Cutler or is it Tony Romo or is it Philip Rivers or something like that? Number seven on the list. These are the top 10 quarterbacks to have never made the Super Bowl.
Top seven. You mean?
This guy, I believe he was number seven. Could be wrong, though. I shouldn't have said that. Maybe he was number five.
well, that doesn't help.
He played for not one, but two.
Michael Vick was number seven.
Cowboys rivals. It's not Michael Vick.
Okay.
He played for the Giants. Redskins and the Giants.
He played one of them in division, one of them outside division, and was a rival more like back in the day. If you know what I'm saying.
Back in the
this guy did play well in the 90s and 2000s.
I've got it. I'm thinking.
Multi-time Pro Bowler. T.O. called him gay.
Jeff Garcia, yes.
Yep,
Garcia, underrated.
It was waiting.
Underrated.
Really, really good player. And I think a player who, if he came out now, would actually get drafted in the fourth or fifth round. And not sent out as gay? Not sent to the CFL for 6 years. No, came out in the draft.
Oh.
Because he was only 6'1".
So Garcia was he right after Young?
Yes.
See, that's just
that
unfair.
Because
you can be good and you're viewed as not good because you played after two of probably the best five or six quarterbacks ever.
But go so bad teammates will be calling you gay because you're not Steve Young.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There wouldn't be. No. Number six on the list.
Would your backup quarterback, what if he and your starter were lovers? Would that be good or bad for your team? Like if Jeff Garcia and Steve Young. What number were we on? I'm sorry.
We're on number six here. The top 10 quarterbacks to never play in the Super Bowl.
Well, they wouldn't argue, right?
I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe they'd argue more.
Yeah. Oh.
Number six on the list is...
What if the quarterback and center?
Yeah. That might be a little bit
too much distraction during the game.
Yes.
In this guy's 10 years as the team's primary starter, he played just with one above-average defense by scoring average. Six of his 10 seasons as a starter came attached to a defense that ranked in the bottom six.
Terrible defense.
In points allowed per game.
Bad team.
He was really good in the 80s and 90s. Might be most remembered now for flipping a table over on a talk show host.
Jim Everett?
Jim Everett. Yes.
Rams.
Chrissy Everett. Yes. Jim Everett. He put on a show, you know, and he was one of those giant, tall quarterbacks with a huge arm. But, I mean, they'd go down the field to Flipper Anderson, and there was a couple of guys there on those Ram teams. They'd have great offenses, and they'd be a lot of fun to watch because they'd end up losing like 35-31 or something.
That was Jim Rome, right? Big argument on the TV.
Did Rome get beat up?
Something like that.
Because I remember he flipped the table, but I don't know how it ended. Did people grab them both, or did Everett get to beat him up a little bit?
Yeah, he just kind of came over, and the guys
Nobody
flew
can
in.
Beat up Jim Rome, by the way.
Come on.
You know he leaves the studio and goes straight to the dojo. you can't talk like that without having big hands on you, bro.
He's 5'3".
He at least knows jiu-jitsu or something, some self-defense type stuff.
Okay. Ripping phone books in the studio.
You just got to dodge that first punch and get in close on you.
That's it.
Okay.
So leave that man alone.
Okay.
And his hair would be perfect the whole fight.
Number five on the list, the top 10 quarterbacks. Now, Chris has a chance to call this guy. Okay, let me just call it what it is right here. He played for a team in an era that might not got a lot of attention. So even some of our listeners say in their 50s will probably know this guy. He did have seven great seasons with Don Coryell.
Dan Fouts?
No. Although that is a really good guess. This gentleman played in the desert in a stadium that's a house of horrors for the Cowboys over the years. He was
Jim
a quarterback.
Hart?
He got it 1966 to 1984.
Yeah,
be honest, I wasn't going to get there.
Yeah, no, I was like, Jim Hart, who's that?
Well, but, you know what, to show you how long ago it was? He wasn't even in the desert. He was in St. Louis.
Okay,
it was
St. Louis,
St.
Cardinals.
Louis Cardinals.
Brett the Hitman Hart's dad?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Very athletic family.
The Hart Foundation?
Okay, number four on the list, the top 10 quarterbacks to never play in the Super Bowl. Making an appearance here is... hashtag real backup. You know who it is. Tony Romo.
All right, I'm gonna be a real harsh judge of these top three then.
What did he say about Romo?
You know, I didn't save it. We know all
That's
the details.
Okay. Yeah, he should have.
He was good and stuff. Right. Well, he did say that longevity, if you played longer, you get higher on the list because you should have had more opportunities. And I bet of the guys listed, Romo's starts is lower than quite a few.
He is definitely lower than the top three on the list. Tony Romo really was awesome.
Got all the Cowboys records.
Bad luck. With an awesome defense and running game for the first couple of years, and then the offensive line just completely fell apart and everybody had to leave. And he held the team to 8-8 for 3 years while they were in the middle of a rebuild.
Yeah.
They weren't spending money.
It should have been 5-11 all those years.
Yeah, they really should have
got
been.
Got a 5'6 guy on the Autoflex Leasing fan text asking to fight me. He said short people could fight. I told
him. They sure can.
I said the only way we can handle this is to meet up and drink beer and not fight. Because, yeah, you would beat me up.
Jeff might get a hold of you, though. And if you're short, you can still be super strong with long arms.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Can you have long arms?
Yeah.
Well, you'd look funny walking down the street.
Longer arms.
Long arm, 5'6".
Yeah, you know, there's 6'3", 6'4 guys that have like a 7-foot wingspan. Yeah. So, yeah, relatively long.
I think 4 or 5 years ago, I could have beat up any short person, but now my cardio's not there. They'd get me in the long run.
Okay, number three on the list has already been guessed in this game. He also played with Don Coryell.
Dan Fouts.
Yeah, there he is.
Number two on the list. About as old as Dan Fouts by the time he retired. He played for Seattle and Minnesota and Canadian Football League.
Warren Moon.
Yeah, he'd been on this show during Super Bowl week.
And you know, did you know that he would have been in the Super Bowl had it not been for the greatest comeback in pro football history?
Oh, that's
right. Frank Reich and the Buffalo Bills came back on the Houston Oilers. It was a playoff game. And if the Houston Oilers had won that game, and by the way, Warren played great. Warren Moon played great in that game. It was the Houston defense that gave up that big lead. But Frank Reich, the coach of the Colts right now,
he did hell of a coach too.
He also authored the greatest comeback in college football history when he was playing for Maryland. They beat Jimmy Johnson and the Miami Hurricane. So he's done it twice on both levels. And that Houston game, though, had the Oilers won it, they would have played the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, and they had already beaten the Cowboys in the regular season. That would have been a war.
Wow, that would have.
From the 817, I'm 5'8 and from Thailand. I can take Jeff.
What?
I'm from Thailand? Is that like from Compton?
He might have some Muay Thai skills or something. What's that called? Muay Thai?
So everyone that's from Thailand, I'm just supposed to see that and be like, oh, God.
Well, I think that's what he was suggesting.
All right.
MMA kind of. Come on.
MMA or maybe some kind of Taekwondo.
And I'm told Jim Rome is 5'10 and is a jiu-jitsu black belt.
See?
Y'all thought I was joking. I've been telling y'all so much.
I think I could take it.
I really got a lot of facts back here.
We're not interested in your facts, sir.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about Jim Rome is he's got like no friends. He's kind of like Skip Bayless, where they're just like, they're at the show and then they're working.
Because he's a gym rat.
They're really socially awkward. And that's, you know, they don't care if people don't like them because they've never really fit in that much.
Okay.
It's a perfect personality to just get in there and throw around hot takes and all that, but.
That's why his lingo is outdated by a couple decades, because he doesn't communicate with people.
Exactly.
He just watches old movies.
Yep. Last time he was in college, right, I think is where all of his slang's from.
Okay. Number one's Philip Rivers. I don't need hints. Thanks.
You got it.
Hey, Jeff, call him 214's got your back. You see that top one?
What'd he say?
He said, I'm 6 foot. I'll fight everyone on your behalf and show them that short people can't fight.
Okay. That's always good. That's the best thing to have is people who want to fight for you.
Yeah.
It's my buddy Harrison back in the day. He would start everything and then run.
A man that will fight for your honor is what he needed?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He needed many men to fight for his honor. Yeah, Philip Rivers is really, really good. Sucks that they've never won anything. That's why I'm picking them. I'm going to keep picking them. They're going to make the playoffs this year. They're going to win tonight. And they're going to make the postseason this year. Derwin James is going to be back after the bye. And they are going to kick butt, take names, and sneak in with 9 wins.
Okay, what if worst case scenario would happen? I don't mean to bring this up.
What are you doing?
What's your second half win total? Let's just have a Cowboys hypothetical here because I think we're feeling good after the 2 straight wins. But this is a really good team coming in, okay? So we got to have an honest conversation about that. And it's coming up next right here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Got a Cowboy hypothetical for you. What if they lose this weekend? Text in at 877-881-1053. Tweet at G-Bag Nation if you'd like. Chris Arnold's in riding shotgun.
Got you down.
You looking at the text over there?
Yeah.
Somewhat?
Yeah.
You don't mind that, do you?
I don't mind at all.
Doesn't bother you?
I love doing that.
Segment's brought to you by BMW. It's brought to you by Dripping Springs Distilling. Brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. And it's brought to you by Mark Rubin. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our guy Mark Rubin, 800 Lawyers, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates.
It would be okay.
Okay, I like that.
It would be okay.
Yes.
Because it would make you tied for first place.
Okay.
And I want to tell you.
Well, they have a bye, don't they? So you would.
Who's that?
The Eagles?
Right now they're 5-4. You're 5-3.
Oh, okay.
So if you lost.
You'd be 5-4 with a tiebreaker.
You would be tied and you'd still be in first.
Okay.
And the Patriots, when they come out, or the Eagles, when they come out of their bye, are greeted by Tom Brady and the Patriots. So you will promptly move back into first place.
Well, you know, I think what you know, I was going for is exactly that, right? But let's just set the expectation before we actually get there. And if it happens.
I may pick the Vikings to win this game.
Okay, cool. It would be, I think, a continuation of an up and down so far. And I think it would be unfortunate that maybe you couldn't capitalize on the momentum of winning a couple of games. And it would be like an idea that you're not there yet. But you're definitely not out of it. Still, the destination or your destiny is in your control.
The Jets game is going to be the one that haunts you because if they lose to the Vikings, in a normal world, you would come onto the radio on Monday after the Sunday night game and you would go, whew, tough game. You know, lost to a good team. Maybe you'll see them in the postseason. I think to me, what skews all of it is that you weren't able to beat a team that every weekend that you see the Jets play. Somebody beats him by 100.
Yeah.
And then the Dolphins beat
him.
Oh.
And you're like, what? How?
That was a gimme win.
I'm sorry that you were missing a few starters, but what?
That was the worst thing.
So that, I think that permanently lives in there. And everything that you see is now viewed through that lens. So if they lose to the Vikings, it'll be this underperforming. Uh-huh. Coach can't do any. They can't beat any because you lost to the Jets. If you didn't do that. We could be more reasonable about you.
No doubt about it. I think you put it well there, Jeff. And I don't think they will. I'm going to pick the Cowboys. I think them getting healthy gives them an opportunity to be significantly better than the majority of, let me just say, you know, all teams in the NFC. Other than maybe the Saints and 49ers right now, I think going into the game, I would expect Cowboys victory. The way everything lines up, the way that you have continuity on this team, and now Michael Bennett doing something for the defense that maybe we haven't seen. It's all coming together in a way that, and I do expect the Cowboys to roll.
And you know what? You just said something significant. Way the Cowboys season started off, the defense wasn't ready yet. I said, wait a minute. This is the defense we expect. Remember those first three victories? The offense was putting on a show. The Kellen Moore offense, Dak doing things a lot of people didn't think he could do, and he was just doing it all, right? But the defense wasn't performing well. Now the defense is – the last two games in a row, Philadelphia and this last game against the Giants, this is the defense we kind of expected, and the offensive line is healthy again, and therefore they should roll.
Yeah, as long as Dalvin Cook doesn't run all over you again. Now, if Dalvin Cook, if Leighton and Jalen can't handle Dalvin Cook and Sean Lee's not.
I got somebody on the sideline that can jump in there.
Yeah.
Sean Lee?
I guess some of it does depend on how it happened. You know, if there would be a turnover problem or a lack of urgency to begin the game problem and you find yourself in, you know, a 21-3 hole or something horrific like that, that would be very, very frustrating to deal with again. But you know, I think it's an important thing to acknowledge going in that if you lose to them, it's a very, very good team. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
That team matches up really, really well. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Vikings in the Super Bowl. So if you lose the game, I don't think it needs to be a sky is falling Cowboys Monday.
Right.
There's one thing that I'm really, really interested in that happens tomorrow. So when you're driving around tomorrow or sitting there streaming us, pay attention to the Cowboys practice report. Because the one thing that I think could really tilt this thing back in the Vikings' favor is Amari Cooper. Everything that he said today sounded like, you know, I think I'll be able to practice tomorrow, should be able to play, no problem. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, then my Dallas Cowboys injury talk alarm bells will go off where it's like, oh, sounded like everything was okay, but does that mean everything's okay? Because Amari Cooper missed the Jets game, and I know you missed your offensive tackles, but I think Amari Cooper might have been even more important. If you have him, this offense just looks so much different.
Yeah.
We've seen such a big sample size of that now, from the 8 games a year ago to when he couldn't play this year. So tracking Amari Cooper will be what I'll be doing tomorrow.
I think you're exactly right. And what I'm hoping for, I don't know if you guys caught what he said after the game about how when people were wondering if he was a decoy in the game for a little while against the Giants because his knee was bothering him. And he said, I couldn't let that happen again, the Jets game. Yeah. I couldn't let that happen again. So I think he's going to try to power through, even if he has to decoy a little bit, maybe.
Well, I mean, I hope. He came back into the game and played well.
Yeah,
so. I mean, it would have to be something I think that the MRI had detected for it.
It's just weird to me that when people are like, yeah, what did the MRI say? He's like, oh, I don't really know.
He's vague, yeah.
But I think I can play through it. I don't know what it is.
Well, I mean, you make a good point there. Hopefully it's nothing significant, but, you know, that sort of I don't know does give me a little bit of concern as well. It was Bill Parcells, though, that would say, how good are we? Ask me after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point in the year, we still have to be a little bit patient with this team because you can come together once you get healthy and start building momentum and start to get that feel around you, that vibe around you that was definitely there in the second half of last year, was there in 2014 and in 2016. We haven't felt it yet. And I think if they do lose to the Vikings, it would be like, okay, you haven't become that team yet, but it's still very, very possible as long as the team is this healthy that you could click. And I'm going to say this team is now good enough that you're bad game plan proof. You are trash game plan proof because of how good you're running the ball. Mm-hmm. Derek can be as conservative as he wants to. Mm-hmm. And the way this offensive line and Zeke are playing together, I don't think that can trip you up too much.
Yeah, we got some Tolos texting in here. Let's see, the 425 says, Kirk Cousins in primetime is horrible. And I think he's right. I think I heard a story. Cousins doesn't win in the nighttime. He only wins in the noon games. He's 50-50 on the 3 o'clock games, and he never wins at night.
He's really bad at primetime. He's really bad against good teams, all these different things. I think we mentioned this yesterday. My only issue with that is it was also mostly while he was a Washington Redskin, and it's hard to win there.
Here's one more. Dak wins the matchup with Cousins all the time. He owns him. This is from the 817. Another note, John Machota had this on Twitter. The quarterback that Tank Lawrence has sacked most in the NFL is Kirk Cousins.
Five sacks. Yeah, okay. And Cowboys had five sacks last year. There are players on the Vikings offensive line that are exploitable. Now, as far as the rest of the way, I'm going to pick them to go 6-2 the rest of the way. I'm going to pick them to be 11-5.
Gavin!
Because, you know, I think they're really good, both sides of the ball now. They have momentum. We talked about their win total a month ago when Chicago and Detroit and Buffalo were playing really, really well. And I think it was Bassick who thought, you know, he could see 7-9 or 8-8 as a possibility. Now, I do consider New England a loss. When I'm looking at schedules, if you have to go there, you consider that a loss. Any games against NFC contenders, I go 50-50 on those type of contests. The thing is, the Cowboys have three of those such games remaining. Vikings, Rams, and at the Eagles, at the Bird Turds, okay, in December, week 15 or 16. So you got three of those. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Say they win two of those, two more losses. You know, the other games are pretty easy. You got Washington. You got you got Chicago, who's just struggling. Detroit might be pretty respectable. Okay, so maybe you consider that another one of those 50-50 type of propositions, especially because you got to go on the road.
I agree with everything you said, and it will not go that way. Like, the numbers might be right, but I just every year it's the NFL, right? You go through and you're like, okay, Rams will beat you. Patriots will beat you. Mm-hmm. But you'll beat the Bears and Lions and Washington. It's like, all right, one of those will be flipped.
Right.
They will beat the Rams or the Patriots, and they will lose to the Lions or the Bears, something like that.
Right.
It's going to get wild.
Or the
wild.
Bills or something.
It's going to get wild.
What's really
that would
wild,
be epic to go into New England and win.
What's really wild is the Cowboys have four games in 19 days, and normally, just so people who can't add, it's normally four games in 21 days, and it's five in 19 days. Mickey was talking about this. Games in 19 days where you normally have you normally have three in 21. You got four in 19. So their bodies are going to be hurting. And I don't know which one of those games is going to get them, but something's going to bite them.
Sounds like we should just throw the ball. You run the ball too much in this little schedule here. You're going to beat up your running back. You got to air it out.
Okay, we'll take a look at the rest of the world of pro football here. Coming up in 10 minutes, we're about to go around the NFL here in the G-Bag Nation. You guys ready to do some serious Black Friday shopping, though?
Yeah, what's for sale?
Online?
You got what's for sale? I got to make a turkey.
They're rolling them out already.
Hey! Yeah.
I got to make a turkey. So if anybody's got a brine kit or a turkey for sale, but wait, when's Black Friday? It's after Thanksgiving. I need it on sale now.
You're making a turkey this weekend?
Friendsgiving. Yes, Friendsgiving on Saturday.
Is that an official day of the year, or are you guys just putting this together yourselves?
I just got invited.
Okay.
And then they were like, yeah, well, you know, can you make anything? I was like, shoot, yeah, I can make turkey.
Huh.
I put turkey on the big green egg. They're like, well, we already have a turkey. We're going to put it in the oven. I was like, I can do better than the oven. I have a big green egg.
Look
I'm
going to
make
there.
The turkey.
Oh, yeah.
But I forgot that that was this Saturday until I got a text like 2 hours ago. So now I'm scrambling in my preparation.
Ooh, that's tough.
But I'll be okay.
Probably going to have to acquire a frozen bird. You're going to have to get it thawed out.
Yeah, at about 7:05, I'll get a frozen bird.
Oh, my.
And I'll sit it out and I'll figure all that
You're
out.
Under the gun.
Well, that sounds awesome. Last year, of course, I had my greatest turkey cooking moment ever the week before Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
I tried to come back and get a repeat performance on the best turkey, not only that I'd ever made, but that I'd ever eaten. I didn't know turkey could be that good.
Did you?
I was like, holy cow,
it?
I've cracked the turkey code. Yes. I injected it with butter and seasoning. I brined that bad boy and I spatchcocked it. I did everything.
I didn't inject because I was afraid. It sounded complicated, but I did everything else. And what happened to my poor turkey is I made the best turkey that I've ever tasted.
Wow.
And we had agreed we're going to eat it around 3 or 4. So my turkey was ready at 3 o'clock. Bam! Here we go.
Family
showed
up late.
Their turkey.
Oh, we had to wait for that turkey.
Was ready at 7.
Oh, okay.
And so they're like, yeah, just let that one sit there. And I was like, I'm going to eat this turkey.
Yeah.
Nobody else has
juicy.
To enjoy this.
While
so my
juicy.
Dad and I ate that turkey.
There you go.
While the rest of the people were like, oh, we'll wait for everything to be ready. I was like, I'm eating this delicious turkey.
Yeah. So that was the appetizer
turkey. So do you two guys put the dressing or the stuffing in the turkey or just to the side?
No.
Cook it on the side?
No.
I want to get the smoke wafting there inside that cavern. In that cavern.
Right, the poop chute.
The Black Friday deals. Walmart is going to have a 4K TV deal that could save $250 on a 70-inch LG.
70.
One model usually selling at $900 is already available for pre-order at $647. That's an LG 70 inches of 4K for $647. How can you not buy that at that price?
Because I don't think I have the square footage to fit a 70-inch TV.
Some of the features, the TV includes 4K streaming, voice assistant, and an option to manage your smart home even, right there off your TV. Walmart also has deals on Apple products. The Apple Watch is available at $219. The newer version is available at $429. Is the smartwatch a good idea? People are starting.
I'm not a watch wearer.
Either am I.
It seems like it. I always
you
draw
can text on there and stuff.
I think so, but I draw the line because I'm like, okay, what do I want it for? Like step counts, cool, heart rate, calories, stuff like that. So I have my Fitbit, and every time if it poops out on me, I go online. It's like, all right, Fitbit, and it's like, yep, $120, and I'm like, okay. Or I could go Apple Watch, and it's like 16.3 million. What do you want to do? And I'm like, I'll take a Fitbit.
Woo. Yeah. These things
I don't know
are
about
ridiculous.
That price. I don't know about that price.
That's a lot of money right there for a watch, and you know I don't know. I gotta be sold a bit. And it seems like you could break it easy. Like that's a fancy screen sitting
right
there, and you know you're gonna be doing a lot of stuff.
Well, you could probably buy a warranty for $14.2 million.
For all that kind of money, that watch better do more than just watch and give me time. It better bathe me and massage my head and everything.
Now, Jeff, you are a MacBook Pro guy, right?
I am a MacBook Pro guy.
This weekend at Best Buy, they're already doing Black Friday, and you can save up to $300 on some MacBook Pro models.
Yeah, which means it costs how much, Gavin?
I don't know.
$900 still? I have a MacBook Air. I know what it costs, and if it ever breaks, it's bad all around. It costs a lot of money, and I don't know my passwords.
Well, the Microsoft Surface Pro 7 with type cover will be available this weekend for $599. It usually goes for $959. That's a lot of savings right there. That's $360 in savings.
Is that powerful enough to actually sync up my video with my audio on my YouTube videos?
I don't know why that's happening. That happens to me, too, and people complain. By the way, please subscribe. Gavin Dawson, 105.3, and Jeff's Twitter, YouTube as well. And once the actual Black Friday and Thanksgiving is here, Best Buy is going to offer deals on TVs, cameras, and products. They got all kinds of 4K stuff and the Amazon Echo Dot, and it's back. It's time to get geared up for Black Friday.
What's the over-under on how much Bassick spends on Black Friday?
Oh, wow.
He's got that TV money, plus afternoon drive money.
And he's always shopping.
I say 700.
Oh, I double it.
I don't really.
Yeah,
because he does weird stuff. Bassick will wake up at 5 a.m. and you're like, "Sweet, how'd you do?" He's like, "Well, I got 6 towels. They were $2 off." Like, what?
Yeah,
that's what you
He's
did
the
on
first
Black
one
Friday?
There. Yeah,
got now, some towels.
I've become more of a Cyber Monday guy myself.
Me too.
But we'll tell you about pro football and go around the NFL coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
A new Mirage 411.9 only at Mesquite Mitsubishi online at mymitsu.com.
Okay, thank you very much, Lucius. It is time to go around the NFL, brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. All righty, and here's Chris Arnold. CA is in riding shotgun. He's got first down.
Oh, where do I begin? With Antonio Brown. You heard about his meeting, right? He was meeting with the NFL to try to clear his name and get reinstated and see what he can do, move the process along. Well, after his meeting, he went on a profanity-filled tweet earlier today saying he wanted the league to clear up his name and he'll never play in the NFL again, that he's done with him. Now, we already know he's crazy. I kind of think he's got concussion syndrome. That's
possible.
That's my personal.
Very possible.
Although he's been crazy for a while.
Could be just FU money.
Yep.
He needs professional help for sure.
I've always felt that I just didn't trust him when he was with the Steelers and he went Facebook Live after the game when the coach is giving the speech. I'm like, you just don't do that.
I mean, he's got these outbursts and then he's like, oh man, my bad.
Yeah, like it's cool. It's, like he literally said, F the NFL. I'll never play in that bleep. Clear my name and go F yourself.
Yes.
And hey, you know what? Defending Antonio Brown as much as I can, if you monitor everything the NFL does and says and you want to say bleep the NFL, I think I can at least see your perspective on that take.
I could see his perspective.
Yeah.
And
I might be weird as an employee who's trying to get back in the league to have, but if you just want to look at the NFL and say, you know what, I don't mess with those people.
Well, he fixed it.
But I don't compartmentalize it. I look at the body of work.
Okay.
And he's got a whole lot of crazy issues with all of these different teams. Now, the latest thing he tweeted out this afternoon, just literally about an hour ago, was, I'm just very frustrated right now with the false allegations and the slander to my name.
Mm-hmm.
I love football, and I miss it. I just want to play, and I'm very emotional about that. I'm determined to make my way back to the NFL ASAP.
So 4 hours earlier, F the NFL, go F yourself. Mm-hmm. Now I'm determined to make my way back to the NFL ASAP.
So a spiking and an impulse of like somebody half his age at 31, if it's not CTE, if it's not bleep you money.
Pipe hole.
Yes.
Maybe maybe mental health is just
two
on board
totally
there.
Different people in there.
Yes. Yeah. Now just imagine how it's hard to understand how he is, right? So I went on Twitter. And, you know, you got all these burner accounts that he supposedly runs himself.
He absolutely has one that I was watching this morning. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Only tweets it's ever had are responses to reporters that say something about Antonio Brown, and they're in the same...
patterns?
Yes.
Styles?
Yes.
Okay.
Same styles, the
this
same
sounds fun.
As his actual Twitter account. It's very similar use of the English language, and all it does is defend Antonio Brown, and it has, I believe, zero followers.
That's going a full KD / Brian Colangelo.
Yes, yes.
Well, there's another one that I just find absolutely hilarious, and I know it's a bit. It's called the AB Translator. He's the Antonio Brown translator. His... avatar says, I am your official translator for Antonio Brown. Spent 4 years at Harvard majoring in CTE language.
Oh.
DM me any worthy translation / content. I'm officially blocked by AB. He's got 13,000 followers and he's following 5 people. He said after the recent outburst where he's trying to clean up his image, the one I just read, Antonio Brown saying, I'm sorry, I just missed football. Remember that? He said, translation, my emotions got the best of me earlier when I ruined my career even more. But now I've calmed down and I want to play again. Someone will sign me. Earlier, when AB put, imagine conforming to a system and giving it 100% to see them treat me like this unfairly, making money off my sweat and blood. F the NFL. I'll never play in that S, treat black people worse. Clear my name. Go F yourself. He translated that to say, imagine buying into a system like the NFL, giving them good ratings, and giving them your money when they treat you so unfairly and are so mean to me, making me work so hard and using me like a toy. I hate you, NFL, and will never play for you again. Erase my name forever.
Okay.
A polite version.
Yes, it's a polite version. If you're trying to interpret his tweets, go to AB Translator with an extra R on the end at Twitter.
Yeah, this burner account stuff's pretty good too right here.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good burner.
All right. Around the NFL is brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Here's Jeff Kavanaugh with Second Down.
Okay, how about a couple of quarterback updates for you? Number one, we have a mystery in the NFL right now. The Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson not on the practice field during the part of practice that was open to the media today. RG3 was working with the first team offense. So it seems like RG3's been playing great in practice, and Lamar Jackson has been benched. They've decided to go with RG3. Actually, people actually, people are saying that one guy from The Athletic said he's been dealing with an illness. So hopefully Lamar Jackson was just sick today and there's nothing physically wrong and he can shake it off and get back out there and play. But he did not practice today, so RG3 got a bunch of the snaps. Get well soon, Lamb Lamb. I need you out there winning the MVP award.
Didn't you pick him? Wasn't he one of your favorite guys when he first got drafted?
He was.
It was like you've always, from college on, you've been a big Lamar Jackson guy.
Who's the super old guy on the NFL Network? Is it Casserly?
Yeah, the city.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe it was Polian.
Polian,
one of them.
Polian's ESPN.
One of them finally came out and was like, you know what? I think I might have been wrong about Lamar Jackson. Perhaps he should play quarterback. Yeah, and then Pat Mahomes. Believe this is the second straight day that he has practiced fully.
Okay.
So what we need to do is figure out what is the line on this game, and if it seems like it's a Matt Moore line, probably jump on it. Because if you've practiced fully 2 days in a row, you'd imagine Patty's going to play, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, let me
They've been talking about this for a while.
I'm going to see if I can find the line on this. Let's see if it's lined up for Patty or if it's off the board, because we may have a money-making opportunity right here. What's your point spread difference for Patty versus Moore? 7, 8, 10?
This game in Tennessee?
Let me see. I apologize for not knowing that, Gavin, and I'll get that looked up for you, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say if Patrick Mahomes is playing against a bad Titans team, you're looking at a 9.5-point spread, and if it's
at Tennessee,
it's more, it's a 3.5 or 4.5. So about a difference of 5-6 points.
At Tennessee, and currently the Chiefs are a 6-point favorite. I think that's a Mahomes line.
They're sitting in the middle.
I think. Oh, is that, you think that's in the middle?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then you might want to jump on it.
Yeah.
If you think they're going to beat him by more than 6.
I would, yeah, I'd be willing to bet on that.
Oh, well, let's talk tomorrow.
All right.
With no Mike to get in the way, we can bet every game for all the money.
Looking forward to that. We'll tell you about the Cowboys injury report and a Minnesota Viking who might be a practice week injury and could be a key guy that could be out. We'll do that coming up at 5 o'clock. But third down here around the NFL brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. What happens if you're an absolute super fan of a team?
You usually get a restraining order or you wear a cool outfit.
Right.
Okay. I don't feel like either of us are major super fans. We're members of the media. We're observers. We
Mike's
pull for the home
teams.
Mike's
a super fan for the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, yes, Mike's a super fan.
But for him, you know, he played professional sports. So the hypothetical here is what happens if one of your kids becomes a professional athlete and plays for a team that's a rival or a crosstown team of, you know.
I would like to think that if I accidentally made a small human and that human blossomed into one that went to pro sports, oh gosh, I'm thinking about it because I was about to say I would absolutely cheer for his team. But
yeah.
What if that little human was an Eagle?
Or, yeah.
You know what? That happened to Jesse Armstead and his family. Jesse's from Oak Cliff, and he got drafted by the Giants. The whole family is super, super Cowboy fan.
What did they do?
Well, they're still super Cowboy fans, except they pull for him individually.
Right.
But not, and he actually played for the Redskins for a minute, too. But
they would cheer for his team against the Cowboys, right?
I don't know. Sometimes.
Okay.
Some of the family, but not all of them.
Some of it is generational, and it's hardwired into who you are in your DNA. So
I would disown the child. Yeah. He'd be an adult at that point, so I wouldn't have to.
Well, Saquon Barkley is dealing with this situation as his dad, Alabe Barkley, a lifelong diehard Jets fan.
Those exist?
Has a Jets tattoo on his forearm.
Oh no.
Told his son as the Giants and Jets are getting ready to play that I'm going to wear that Joe Namath jersey that Saquon bought him as a present. A few years back.
Oh, wow. Before Saquon was in the league?
Yeah, well, apparently Saquon grew up a Jets fan as well.
Oh, no.
So it's one of these situations here where, you know, if I was Alabe, that is Saquon's dad, I would think, perfect. I've been trying to get off this Jets bandwagon for the last 3 decades.
Yep.
Now I have a valid excuse to switch teams, right? But, You know, I guess for him, if you grew up in the Jets heyday and were around when Namath made the guarantee and you went to win the Super Bowl and everything, you might feel like you're locked in. You can't leave.
Hey, Saquon's dad is old school. He said, I've been knowing the Jets longer than I've been knowing you.
It's true. They were in a relationship long before you were
long
born.
Long before you were born.
Saquon says, though, dad won't actually be rooting for the Jets, not for the win. The win is for the Giants. But he's also, oh, no. I think what he said, he's probably going to wear a Jets jersey. So that's going to be an interesting one. I gave it to him. It's a Joe Namath jersey. I think I got him for Christmas, actually, the Namath one. At the end of the day, I knew this situation was going to come up, but I'm happy for him. I was a Jets fan growing up, too, so it's fun. It's going to be a little fun competition in the Barkley house. The way he's talking, he's kind of hemming and hawing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, he's going to wear the jersey, but he wants – you know, I think they have that exact situation there in the house.
Chris, if your son plays for the Eagles, what color shirt would you wear to that game? Your son becomes right? a Philadelphia Eagle.
Oh, my.
You go to a game at AT&T.
Cowboys.
Would you?
And I'd say, Alex, you're on your
own.
Oh. You have to do it by yourself because I pull for you. You uh-huh. have a good game, but you can't win.
There's very important social reasons around here with the Cowboys and stuff. And, you know, wearing those Ooh. Eagles colors, yeah, that's yeah, just, that ain't right. You're not making me turn my back on my community.
I can't do it.
I'll hope you get a touchdown or something. Ooh. You know, play well,
Late
get paid.
Garbage time.
Ooh, yeah. Total of 469 says, what if Mike Bassett's kid winds up playing for the Lakers when he grows up?
Oh
my God.
Oh. That's the ultimate tester.
He wouldn't let him come home to the house.
Yeah, what if you do get one past the goalie and your son's a Laker?
Yeah, Gavin.
Yeah. We gotta go swing by the drugstore, by the way, tonight. Check up on that. Okay. Little test.
Oh wow.
But yeah, I think I'd become a Lakers fan. I think I'd move to LA and I'd support the Lakers. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, you're a family guy though. Mike would not. Mike would fight his kid.
I think Mike's I don't know. Maybe we'll have to ask him when he gets back from New Orleans. Okay, Mavs are 2.5 hours. They're 26 and a half hours from tip-off. The top storyline here and what the Mavs have to do to get some success tomorrow against the Knicks. But then at 5:20, inside the mind of Porzingis as he gets set for that, that's a must-listen-to segment. We'll get you the top stories of the day and then what Porzingis is thinking after what he calls a disappointing first 7 games of his Mavs career. That's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.